good afternoon. I'm Floyd Morgan. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Community Church. And on behalf of the family, I would like to welcome you here as we remember and celebrate the life of Richard Henry Fanken, born April 27, 1937, and received into the arms of God September 29, 2023. Today we celebrate for three reasons. He knew Jesus as personal Savior and Lord. He finished well, and we know exactly where he is. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you today with heavy hearts. We have many questions. We don't understand your timing and your ways, but God, we do know we can trust you. As we remember and celebrate his life today, I pray that you would give us a sense of gratitude and thankfulness, and that that would overwhelm us because he knew you, and he's with you. We ask that you would bring peace and comfort to the family and friends that are in this place. We ask now for that joy and that peace that only comes from you, despite the turmoil around us. And pray that each person here would lean into you and find comfort in your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Please stand as we sing How Great Thou Art. Have a seat.
Hello. I'm Andrew Knutson. I'm Dick's oldest grandchild. And so my papa, he always said he was very grateful for his faith, so I wanted to read from Hebrews 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, I'm Chris Morrison. I'm Dick's oldest daughter. And this here's Lynn. She's the other daughter.
I'm the middle child.
So, yeah. Anyway, our dad was born April 27th, 1937, to Horace and Caroline Fankin, and he grew up on a farm in Clare, Michigan. He was the oldest of five siblings, and his next sibling, Ellen, is here today, so we're so happy to have her here. But eventually, there was a total of 13 people living in the little farmhouse, and cousins and grandparents all together. And so living with a lot of people, though, I think that really shaped the way Dad just loved people.
Dad told me that he went to Sunday school at the age of 12 with a friend, and that at that time he accepted Jesus as his Savior. And that was the beginning of a lifelong commitment and service to his Lord.
So as the oldest child, Dad had a lot of responsibilities on the farm. He told us that he and his grandmother were in charge of milking the cows, and they would get up before dawn and do that every morning. He attended a one-room schoolhouse that was just a block away from his home. We drive by it all the time when we go back to Michigan. He enjoyed playing football in high school, and that was back when helmets were made of leather. He became a hard worker through all that, and he was never afraid of a challenge.
He was the first in his family to attend and graduate from college. He went to MSU, Michigan State University, where he met our mother, Anita. And he and a friend were in a club. It was an agricultural club. And they were planning a hayride. And they needed dates. So a friend set him up on a blind date with my mom. And my dad later wrote about their first date. I'm not certain how she felt, since in the back of her mind was the idea that this guy might have an idea of becoming a farmer. Because the club we belonged to was an agricultural club. That certainly did not fit into her idea of a future lifestyle. But after she experienced my charm and the assurance that farming was not in my future, she was okay with that. She says that she also was impressed by my impersonation of Elvis Presley.
So Mom and Dad got married in August of 1958 while he was still a student at the Michigan State University. And then a few years ago, he shared this story with us. These are his words. So at the reception, somehow the punch got spiked. My mother-in-law blamed it on who she called her crazy Canadian relatives, but I knew all along it was my brother Glenn and my cousin's husband, Jim Denton. I never did tell her the truth.
He graduated from MSU in June of 1960, on the same day that my sister Chris was born. A year later, I came along, and our little family moved around to Michigan and Ohio and finally settled in Grosse Pointe, Michigan in 1966. Dad ran a furniture restoration business there in Detroit, and our brother was born, Derek, in 1970. And in 1975, we moved here to Tucson, where Dad eventually became a State Farm agent, and he enjoyed a long career with State Farm, retiring in 2007 at the age of 70.
Our parents enjoyed a long and very happy marriage. In August, they celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. And he wrote the following words about our mom. He said, "Anita is a beautiful woman inside and out, and she's been a great partner and a wonderful homemaker. Mom and Dad enjoyed traveling the world together, and they made 17 trips to Europe, often exchanging homes with people who became lifelong friends."
They also enjoyed taking trips with their children and grandchildren, including trips to California, Florida, Utah, and Hawaii. Dad and Mom had 12 grandchildren, and there are now 13 great-grandchildren and two more on the way. He was a wonderful papa to all of his grandchildren. They all love him very much. And also his nieces and nephews, they love him a lot. And one of the cousins shared with us recently that he made each one of them feel like they were his favorite. He was just that way.
So Dad was truly a godly man who took care of his children. There you go. Recently, I unexpectedly found myself alone. And during this difficult time, my dad stepped up to take care of me however he could. He drove me to the airport. He fixed my appliances. He killed scary scorpions and anything else he could do. And one of Dad's favorite activities was watching the ball game on TV. So the very last night of his life, we didn't know it at the time, he came to my house and we watched the Lions win for a change. So it was a beautiful evening, and I'm very thankful for that memory. It was truly a gift from God.
Dad had a close relationship with his Lord Jesus Christ. And he passed that on to his children and grandchildren, who, many of whom have close relationships and are serving the Lord. Our family were charter members of El Camino Baptist Church, where Dad served in many capacities. He was a longtime leader of the King's Heirs class, many of whom are here today. Mm-hmm. And we are confident that Dad is in the presence of the Lord and that he is more alive now than he ever was on earth. We love you, Dad. We miss you.
If you will please stand, we'll continue with singing "How Firm a Foundation." Please stand. Please be seated.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Pitts. I don't get to say I'm oldest grandchild, but I'm the oldest granddaughter, so I have that. Bear with me as I struggle through this. They asked the pregnant person to talk. So. I'm honored to be here, and I'm sure we're going to hear a great many adjectives describing Papa. We've heard quite a few: gentle and kind and generous. But as one of the blessed dozen who got to call him Grandpa, I think I saw a special side to him. Perhaps the best word to use would be doting. He loved his role as our papa, and he had such a special place for us. And there's a story I like to tell because it shows what a sweet papa he was. When my oldest daughter, Sophia, who's here today, when she was just a toddler, our whole family, all the grandkids and his children were in California for Christmas, and we were sharing one large Airbnb together. Sophia, who was a toddler, had misbehaved, and I had told her to go upstairs to our room, and I would be coming upstairs to have a word with her. And while she was up there waiting, crying, her great papa happened to walk by the room, and by the time I got up there, she was snuggled in his lap, crying, and he looked right at me and said, "You aren't going to discipline this little girl, are you?" Sophia got out of trouble that day, rescued by her white knight, her great papa, and that memory is one she still carries with her, one of her great papa saving her. So we grieve today. We grieve the loss of a loving man, but not as those who are without hope. When moments like this come, we're painfully reminded of the sting of death. And it feels unnatural because this wasn't how it was supposed to be. It wasn't how God created it. But it's a common and tragic reality of our sin-cursed world. This isn't the end of Papa's story, though. He trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, knowing he couldn't earn his life in heaven. And because of his trust in Christ, I can rest confidently knowing he is with our Savior, no more experiencing the pains of a sin-fallen and cursed world. And one day I look forward to seeing him in person again and hugging him, and it will be a very sweet reunion.
Well, that's not easy to follow. My name's Tim Heffentrager, and I'm a State Farm agent. Dick and I were agents during the same time. And when I came in today, I looked at that picture and I thought, who is that guy? I actually knew Dick when he was that young. You know, that's how long we knew each other. And of course, because I'm old also, I've got glasses and I've got something to read in front of me instead of trying to do it by memory. There are certain people in each of our lives that when you hear their name, you just smile. And Dick was one of those guys for me. This past week, I encountered a lot of other people that knew Dick, a number of people. And the constant comment that I heard almost to a person was, Dick was a great guy. And he really was. And of course, we've heard some really important things about him already. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about my friend Dick Fanken for a few minutes, more from maybe a business perspective than family. But I do have a story I wanted to share and how he helped me. It's been said that often friendships develop because two people have some common interest. And this was true for Dick and me. We both chose to start our insurance businesses with the same company. Dick had started his agency several years before me and had already distinguished himself as a successful agent, who fortunately for me was willing to help other agents who were struggling at first. Dick became a reliable mentor who was always there when I needed him. What an eye-opener, though, for me, however, when I first visited Dick at his office on Craycroft. As I entered his office, I was surprised to see papers, folders, manuals piled high on his desk, beside his desk, and behind his desk. In fact, I didn't know how he got to his desk. So he had offered to help me prepare for an upcoming presentation that I was giving to a customer, and he suggested a particular brochure that he believed would help me explain the coverage. So I said, well, you know, I'll look on getting that before my appointment. And he said, hold on a second. And he turned and rifled through a pile, one of the piles. And in the middle, he pulled a piece of paper out, spun around, and said, here you go. And all I could do was laugh. And I said, you know, Dick, you know where everything is on those piles, don't you? And he said, yeah, I believe I do. Even in the clutter, he was organized. He was, as I discovered, a highly effective and efficient business owner. I heard it said that there's two types of people who enter a room. One who says, here I am. The other who says, there you are. Dick was the latter. And an example of that was whenever I'd run into him, be it at a business meeting before he retired, at church, or even at Fellowship Square, where he and Anita lived for a short time, and I got to visit them, he would always ask right away, Tim, how are you doing? How's Kay? You know, and he'd ask if I had seen any of our common friends lately, and if so, he'd say, you know, how are they doing? He really did. He was very genuine about his caring for others. This caring person that he was, I believe, translated in how he treated his customers and his peers. Dick understood the tension in his position as an agent in that he wanted to do what was right for the customer as well as what was best for the company. He was well respected within the State Farm community. And the customers of his that I have met over the years have spoken highly of him and his willingness to go the extra mile for them. Kay and I had many opportunities to travel with Dick and Anita on company-sponsored trips over the years. It was always a good time for all when Dick and Anita were present. We laughed hard and often. This gentle giant of a man was often quiet, staying in the background. Yet when asked his opinion, he was ready to share. He was a man who was true to his convictions. He was proper and somewhat old-fashioned, still wearing a suit and a tie to church. I discovered this week that he also was apparently frugal in that when asked by a friend why he met with other guys at McDonald's regularly, he commented, well, the coffee refills are free. Most of all, what I observed in Dick was that he was a man of faith. He loved his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was a true example of what Matthew 5:16 is talking about, where it says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. This type of a memorial is ironic and perhaps bittersweet for those of us who are believers. Bitter in the sense that he's gone from us. Sweet in the sense that we can observe what it says in Psalms 116:15, where it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. I know we often say it, but it is really true. Dick really is in a better place. Yes, he's at home at last. And yes, we can anticipate seeing him again. Dick is my friend, and I miss him for now.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete, and Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me long, take me to your heart, for it's there that I belong and will never part. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me dear, tell me you are. I'll be yours through all the years, till the end of time. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will.
Lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. If I were king, dilly dilly, I'd need a queen. Who told me so, dilly dilly, who told me so? I told myself, dilly dilly, I told me so. If your dilly dilly heart feels a dilly dilly way, and if you answer yes, in a pretty little church on a dilly dilly day, you'll be wed in a dilly dilly dress of lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. Then I'll be king, dilly dilly, and you'll be my queen. Great grandfather met great grandmother when she was a shy young miss. And great-grandfather won great-grandmother with words more or less like this.
Lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. If you were king, dilly dilly, you'd need a queen. Who told you so, dilly dilly, who told you so?
I told myself, dilly dilly, I told me so. If your dilly dilly heart feels a dilly dilly way, and if you answer yes, in a pretty little church on a dilly dilly day, you'll be wed in a dilly dilly dress of
lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green.
Then I'll be king, dilly dilly, and you'll be my queen.
Lavender's blue, dilly dilly, lavender's green. If I were king, dilly dilly, I'd need a queen. Told me so, dilly dilly, who told me so? I told myself, dilly dilly, I told dilly so. If your dilly dilly heart feels a dilly dilly way, and if you answer yes, in the pretty little church on the dilly dilly day, you'll be wed in the dilly dilly dress of lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. Then I'll be king, dilly dilly, and you'll be my queen.
It's a privilege to be with you today. You know, I've known Dick's family, Lynn and Chris, for quite a long time. As a high school student, I used to make my way over to El Camino Baptist Church now and then, and usually they wouldn't let me stay too long, so then I would go. And also spent some time a whole summer at Prescott Pines Camp with Chris, and we'll save those camp stories for another time as well. But today we celebrate Dick's life, because life is a gift. It's an amazing journey. My Bible tells me that in Ephesians chapter 1, that God knew of Dick's life before the foundation of the earth, and he chose him as well at that point. Psalm 139 shows us, and he continues to show us, that we were formed in our mother's womb. We were knit in our mother's womb. And Luke chapter 12, he even knows the hairs on our head. Proverbs 21, he knows our plans and the desires of our heart. John chapter 3 and John chapter 10, we see that he sent Jesus Christ into this world so that he could die and be buried and rise again so that we could have life, a life that is truly amazing and an eternity that is beyond our wildest dreams. Jesus goes on to tell us in John 14, 1, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What helps us navigate the trials and the losses in our lives is to realize that there's a reason we exist today. And there's another life that's coming that surpasses anything we can imagine if we've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. The Bible tells me that we are known by God from eternity past into eternity future. And he gave us this special moment in time we call life, so we could simply make a choice to follow his heart or ours. You know, I personally can't imagine going through this life thinking that this is all there is. How painful that would be, how sad. My Bible tells me that this world can never bring us complete happiness, and it doesn't even have the capacity to do so. Yes, we do find moments of contentment and pleasure, but God has placed an emptiness in our soul that can only be filled by him, and a thirst that just doesn't go away until we drink from his cup and eventually see him face to face. And it's written, it's in within this relationship with our Heavenly Father that he gives us a peace and a joy that is not dependent upon our external circumstances, isn't dictated by the seasons of this life or the difficult events that we may go through. Real life is only found through the author of life, which makes sense. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. John 3:16 demonstrates how we connect to this life giver. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He tells us in the epistle of Romans that the wages of our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It goes on to say, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. where with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. You see, our God loves us, and he wants to be in a right relationship with us. And everyone here, no matter where you've been or what you've seen, there's an invitation. There's an open invitation from God for this real life, a life worth living that brings purpose and meaning. You know, I find it intriguing that as human beings, we naturally long for more. You know, it's this insatiable desire to look for the next best thing or achieve the next goal. It's like we were meant for more, meant for something better. Why is this? Well, it's because we were meant for something more. We were meant for something better. Because if we're truly his, this world is not our home. This is not our final destination. It's just part of this epic journey that we're taking, a part where we're compelled to choose which of the two roads we will travel, God's path or our path. You know, Jesus describes the two roads out of Matthew chapter 7. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Scripture tells me if we accept the forgiveness offered through Jesus, we can be saved from God's wrath and enter into his presence when we pass from this life. You see, there's nothing like arriving at your destination. The exhausting traveling and the last bite of that cold sandwich is over. It's time to enjoy. It's time to enjoy the fact that you're there. See, when we know Christ, when we know his forgiveness, his love and his grace, life is good. I mean, life is sweet as we look forward to our ultimate destination we call home, basking in the presence of God and enjoying him forever. But today we mourn, we grieve. So how do we navigate life from here? How do we move forward? How do we move forward well? Thankfully, there's a place to go. There's a place that provides comfort and peace needed to move into tomorrow. This place is in the arms of our Heavenly Father and his gift in Jesus Christ. Jesus talks about this peace in John 14. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. God speaks to us in Philippians chapter 4 and says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And if we trusted Jesus as personal Savior, one day we will walk into a beautiful place with no more sorrow, a place where there is no more pain. Listen to the picture painted for us in Revelation chapter 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Jesus offers something this world cannot give and is not capable of. And he offers that to you today. He offers that to me. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, but we are guaranteed a passing from this life into the next. So today we let go of Dick. His journey on this earth is over. We simply celebrate the life of a man we love who chose to share his life with us. And today we release him as he arrives at his final destination. The loving arms of God. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we release to you Dick And we pray that for the years to come, you'd comfort this family and these friends. God, may they sense your presence and your passionate love for them, both now and in the days to come. May you carry them, may they allow you to carry them as they mourn and grieve and move forward in this life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
And we have one more hymn to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, so please stand. Family would like to invite you to our Family Life Center, which is straight out here off to your right a little bit as you exit. And let me just say a blessing for the food that we're going to have and trust the fellowship is sweet. Lord, thank you so much that we can celebrate Dick's life here. And we just thank you that he is with you, enjoying this, the beginning, the front end of his eternity. Pray you be with the family and friends, dear God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this food. Amen.